Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. I am excited to worship with you. Amen. Good morning. Amen. If you're able, let's stand to our feet. I just wanted to tell you what the definition of praise is. The expression of approval or admiration or worthiness for someone. And I don't know anyone who is worthy of our praise besides Jesus. Amen. So let's give him our hearts this morning. Let's give him our attention and just all that we have, because he is worthy of everything that we have to give, because he first gave to us. Amen. Amen. I'll praise in the morning. I'll praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded. Yeah, 'cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. And praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. 'Cause my praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout. Brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave, praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise, praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign. Lord. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Oh, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just wanna speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn up the fire.
Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Bye. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus. Yeah.
saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. And I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. This grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Together, sons and daughters, bought with blood, washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Oh, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. Grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. And greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. And greater things still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony. From death to life, this grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Well, if you know Jesus, your name is registered in heaven. Amen. I love that. Hallelujah. Well, go around and greet some of your family of faith. We're so glad to have you here with us this morning.
good morning, everybody. Live streamers, it's good to have you wherever you're watching from. Facebook or YouTube, but it's good to have you. We'll take time for our giving today, tithe and offering. So if you need an offering envelope, wave your hand around. If not, they're in the chairs in front of you. Also, the ushers have these prayer cards. If you have a prayer need, you can fill one of these out and turn them into me or one of the ushers. And by the way, there's also these praise cards. If we like to hear your prayer need to pray for them, but if you have a testimony of something, we'd love to hear that too. So there's praise cards at the back, and give those. And every once in a while, if we get one of these, we may ask if you'll share it, because I love the family of faith. We're a family of faith, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I love the family of faith to hear at times what God is doing in the lives of the people of our family of faith. So if you have praise reports, that's wonderful too. And by the way, at the back door as you leave, there's always these little invite cards there. You can grab one or two of those. And here's the best thing to do with the invite cards. You ready? Don't just take them and throw them around the street somewhere. But purposefully and prayerfully give that to somebody that you're going to follow up with and invite to church. And tell them, hey, I have a seat for you. I'll meet you at the front door. I'll meet you in the parking lot. I'll bring you in. I'll show you around. I'll show you where the bathroom is. I'll help you out, all right? So that's what these are for. So you can grab as many of these as you're going to do that with, okay? And then also, if you hadn't had one, Judah, if you'll grab that for me real fast right there. We just have a couple of these left at the back door, these little yard signs. If you live in Urbana, and if you want to, you can put this in your yard. And it's just to let Urbana know that we're here, that we love Urbana, and has our church web at the bottom. But also, if they do the QR code, it takes them to a page for a church plan of visit, where they can, and that email comes to me. So we've received one of those already, so it's cool. So if you're interested in that, you can take one of those. There's just a couple left at the back door. But anyways, I was just giving you time to fill out your tithe and offering envelope. Let's pray over that if you have that ready. Lord, we thank you as we worship in our giving, that you are a good God. You are a good Father, the good Shepherd. And I thank you that your goodness shows up in all the areas of our life, including the things that we need. This day, our daily bread, Lord, as increase comes into our life, Lord, we respond with our tithe and our offerings, Lord, as a response to you, to show you that we honor that and we honor you with our giving today. And we do that as we come forward in living by faith. In Jesus' name, we all say,
amen.
Amen. So if you have some, you can bring it down to the baskets. Some announcements today. Everybody say today.
Today,
Joy Fellowship meets at 5 o'clock, one of our small groups here in the church. It is for the older generation, but anybody can come. They have food when you come, so you can bring something for a carry-in. But if you have questions, please ask Bill and Patsy. Wave your hand around Bill and Patsy, okay? They got all the answers you need for that. Along with that, don't forget that this coming Saturday is another small group that's happening. Our women's coffee is at 9 a.m. this Saturday morning. It's good coffee, good fellowship, and all sorts of stuff. So if you have questions about that, you can ask Margo. You can wave your hand around so they know who you are. That's two hands, not one, but we'll take it, all right? And then also next Saturday is the Hoopla Parade. So we have a spot in the parade. Kelly had to take off because kids were sick, but she came and sang, but she headed back home. But she has all the information for that. We're waiting for final details. So if you signed up for that, I'll get Kelly details, and Kelly's going to disperse the information. So we're going to be in the parade next Saturday. I think it starts at noon, handing out candy and church invites just to let people know about the church. So that's a fun thing to be a part of. That's next Saturday. But if you want to be a part of it and you never signed up, there is a sign-up sheet at the back. So do that today. That way Kelly has everybody's information this week to contact with the final details of what's happening. And then last but not least, September has a fifth Sunday, which is next Sunday. And always on the fifth Sunday, we have what? One big family. So that's next Sunday morning. The kids will be with us for service. They help participate in the service. I love one big family because it's great to have a good kids' church and a good youth program, youth hangout. But it's also good that the kids are with us for church, for the full service every once in a while, so they can see their parents worship, they can see their parents get into the Word, they can see their parents pay attention, all the different things, they can see their parents give. It's a great time of example of participation in the church for our kids. So I know it's always a little louder, there's always a baby making noise somewhere, you know, it's fine, it's good, I like it, I like to hear the babies, it's better to have babies than none. We need the older generation, but the church doesn't have a future if there's not a younger generation. And the older generation is being doing what? Teaching the younger generation about the things of Jesus. So, yes, it's a little louder, but amen, I like it. If you don't, bring your earplugs and just pay attention. Because we're having it next week. Amen. Get your Bibles out, please. Acts chapter 25. We're finishing up our series today called Church on Mission. And I've enjoyed this series. Not only have I enjoyed this series, but I enjoyed inviting you to read along in the book of Acts while we were doing this series. And if you did that, thank you. And it got to fill in a lot of the background of things that we were skipping over and highlighting certain things, which is the case again today. But a church on mission is a church that meets together, is strengthened together, it grows together, but then is sent into the world as a light of the world, which is what we are to do. So once again, I'll say it, I'm glad you are here, but this is not the final purpose of the church, it's just to come to church. Because the church, though, we call this church, we gather together, we call this church, well, really, church is you. Listen to me. Can I tell you something? We have a good church. But we have a good church because of you. You guys are the reason we have a good church, because we have good church as it shows up because you're the church. I know we're not perfect. I know we're still working it out. I know we got things to get through. But yet, we have a good church because you're good people. And we believe in you. Don't sell yourself short in what God can do in your life and then ultimately through your life as we go on mission. Okay? Again, remember, it's not about personality. It's not about one giftedness over the next. It is about the willingness to be used by him, because who you are in him, how he made you to be, is then the avenues through which he will use you in this world. Don't look at somebody else and say, I wish I was like them. Yes, we can learn from people. People can mentor us. But God made you a certain way for a reason. Amen. And he will use you in that. Amen? Amen? So you're all right. You're okay. Quit selling yourself short. God has things for you. And it's only when you come into that realization that it is him anyways. I am just really the hands and the feet for him, I can participate in. I can be in on what God is doing. That is, what's the will of God for your life? Get in on what he's doing. That's his will. You want to make it real simple. That's what he desires, for you to get in on what he's doing through the work of the kingdom in the world, but certainly then the things that he purposes you in. That's what he's up to. So as we end the book of Acts, the last handful of chapters really focus in on Paul. And what's happening at the end of this is Paul decides he wants to go back to Jerusalem. Prophetically, it was told to him, if you go back there, you're going to end up bound up and arrested. He wants to go anyways, and certainly prophetically what said was happened did happen. He ends up back in Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders, Jewish people try to kill him. In the midst of this uproar of this happening, the Romans get involved and they grab Paul and they end up taking him in custody. And what happens is a series of trials of Paul being sent to different people on trial, and in the midst of his plots to kill him in between. But ultimately, Paul does something that shapes the end of the book of Acts and then the rest of his life. So Acts chapter 25, I just want to read this and then talk about it for a second. Acts chapter 25 and verse 10. Now, I'll explain in a minute why we're reading this specific passage. But Paul said, I'm standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews, I've done no wrong, as yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But there is nothing to their charges against me. No one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, who he was before at this time, when he had conferred with his council, answered, to Caesar you have appealed, and to Caesar you shall go. Excuse me. Paul was a Roman citizen. And in the midst of all this jostling around and being arrested and taken for different people, he appealed to Caesar. And in that day, that was a big deal. If you're a Roman citizen, you can't just be dealt with as the locals want to. There are certain laws in place of what needs to happen because you're a Roman citizen. So he appealed to his citizenship that you can't do this to me, really. I appeal to Caesar. So they're like, okay, if that's what you do, we're going to send you to him. And Paul, at the end of the book of Acts, he is actually in Rome. He's under house arrest. And the book of Acts doesn't tell the rest of the story. Most likely he was freed at that time, but eventually he ended up back in arrest in Rome, where he was ultimately martyred. He was beheaded for his faith by the Romans under most likely Caesar Nero. Paul did give his life for the faith. But the point of this, what I want to say about this is this. That the gospel of which the church is on mission with is called to go to the ends of the earth. Jesus, at the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, he says, look, you're going to be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, the city. In Judea and Samaria, the region. And then all the way to the ends of the earth. The gospel is to go. The gospel is not stagnant. The gospel is not something you have received in the goodness of God and salvation and new creation, then you just leave it there. As a matter of fact, I would say this, a gospel received that isn't turned around and sent is a gospel that will become stagnant. It is to go somewhere. The gospel is active. It is to be moving. And as Paul is saying here, even to Caesar, it is to go. Now, what's significant about that? Well, Rome, at this time, is the greatest nation in the world. And Caesar, being the head of it, well, even too, was considered the most powerful man in the world. The gospel must go there, too. Now remember, when we talked about Jesus and his birth at Christmas time, we always bring this up. Jesus did not come through the powers and authorities in this world, but he speaks to them. You see that? Jesus didn't come to a rich family. He didn't come to a family that was high in the levels of politics of the day. He didn't come to a family of affluence. He came to a normal dad who was a carpenter. And what's really interesting is there's a scene where they're taking Jesus to offer sacrifice. If you know the law, there's two things you can do. You can offer, I think it's a lamb or a goat or something, but if you don't have enough money to do that, you can offer a dove. You know what Jesus' family did? It was recorded in the gospel. They offered a dove. What does that tell you? They probably didn't have a lot of money. But yet the gospel of Jesus turns in and speaks to all of it. Even unto Caesar in Rome. The most powerful place and powerful person, the gospel must go there. In other words, there is no part of this world where the gospel is not to be taken. But also works the entire other side of it too, by the way. The gospel also is to be taken to those who are on the outskirts of society, who are poor and in need, and just seems like they can't ever get a leg up on anything. It always feels like they're down in a hole somewhere. with some aspect of their life. The gospel goes there too. It's not just to the power, but it's also to the outcast. The reason is because the need for the forgiveness of sin goes across all of those boundaries of life. See that? You can go to some very affluent parts of our nation when it comes to finances. You can see some big houses that are gated in. I've been by some places like this. You look at these places, you go, holy smokes, that is a giant house. What do they need all that room for? It's just stuff. Then you go down to the corner, and there's a homeless person sitting there, all within just a block. And you see one end of society all the way to the other. The gospel is to go to both. Because the forgiveness of sins and the need for salvation crosses all of it. That is the great equalizer in our world, is that each person needs to know Jesus. Whether they've made it in this life financially or they have not, whether their health is in good shape or not, you see? And it's not, again, that a country with borders can claim Jesus as our own. We got the monopoly on Jesus. That's why it goes beyond just Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Therefore, it crosses all boundaries of skin color and ethnicity and language. As when the disciples came out from being filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. Why? It's an example of this goes to all languages of the world. You see that? That's the mission we're on. So it's the great mission to know that I am to be a witness in my neighborhood, my city, Jerusalem. And for those that take the steps to do so, callings and purpose to the region. And even those that feel called to do so beyond, to other nations, missionaries that we would call them. But the gospel is to go. And Paul, knowing that his life would really end the way that it did, still chose to do so. The willingness to put the gospel message at the forefront of how his life was directed, and ultimately the cause of the end of his life, that the message would go and be active and be taken. Everybody look at your feet. You got feet, don't you? You know what you do with those feet? Walk. Everybody's got hands? Look at your hands. I got a messed up pinky there. It's all messed up. Yeah, but not useful for anything. But I can still use my hands. Excuse me. In essence, we have to remember that we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Y'all were just singing songs a few moments ago. You have a voice. Mine's a little scratchy today. I apologize for that. You have a voice to share the gospel. Feet to go somewhere, hands to do something, a voice to speak. All empowered by the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says will even give you the words to say in these moments. Wow. As the gospel in Acts was going forth, it was accompanied by signs and wonders, moments where demons were driven out of people. Remember the story of the little girl that followed Paul around when it was demon-possessed for a few days, and finally he was just over it and cast a demon out of the girl and wrecked the business of which she come from. They were mad at him about it. Signs of the kingdom are among us. Amen. If we're willing to go, do something and say something. This is when the gospel is active and it goes forth into our world. So we gather together to be equipped and reminded of this stuff. You're hearing it today. For a lot of you, this is a reminder, maybe new to some of you, but most of you, it's a reminder. Then we leave here, we take the message. Now here's a couple things about that. Let's look in Acts chapter 9 and verse 2. I want to just show you a couple things about the names that they started to call Christians early on. Acts chapter 9 and verse 2. This is actually about Saul before he was converted and they started to call him Paul. So Paul asked for letters to synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, and notice the way right there is capitalized, men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The first designation of Christians, where they began to be called as part of the way, capital W-A-Y, the way. Maybe in correspondence to Jesus proclaiming himself, as we see in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except by me. By the way, early Christians were considered a sect of Judaism as a whole. So calling them of the way was sort of a way of bringing a differentiation between them and Judaism as a whole. As Judaism, they followed the way of the Torah, but now this sect within that, they're following the way of Jesus, who claims to be fulfillment of the Torah and all those things. But they were called as members of the way. Listen to this. And it brings this great connotation of this is a way of living. That remember, we were just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about what they were saying about the early Christians. Yeah, they participated in local customs just like everybody else. They dressed like everybody else. They didn't eat different foods than everybody else. They lived just like everybody, except they forgave. They didn't expose their children to the other things that maybe some of the kids were being thrown out into in that society. It was very marked out, said, and they didn't share their beds. In other words, they stayed pure in their marriages and things of this nature. I mean, there was a way of living that though they lived within the culture, dressed like people and ate like people and did all the customs there, but a way of living, the way, that caused people to see there's something different about these people. You see that. And then later, we see in the book of Acts, then they started to be called Christians. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Now, there's a point I'm making with this. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. It says, mid-sentence here, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. Watch this. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So the first designation of people that believed in Jesus, they were called as part of the way. And then later they started to take on this designation as Christian. That word Christian simply means belonging to Christ. That again, they're living the same customs as everybody, dressing like everybody, going to work like everybody, eating the same foods as everybody, but yet, there was something about the way that they lived that they were marked out and called belonging to Christ. You think about that. That there's a way of living in such a way that people say, what is it about this person? And maybe through conversation, maybe something they said, that Jesus person, this Jesus, the anointed one, Christ. Christ is not the last name of Jesus, it's a designation of the anointed one. They belong to this anointed one, Christ. So we men breakfast yesterday. We had a good time, by the way. We'll do another one. Come on out if you missed yesterday. Tom told a story. I love this story. Years ago, he was a telephone line guy. That's totally improper to what it is, but that's just the way I remember it. He installed telephone lines back when everybody used landlines. Remember those things? I saw a video not long ago. They put a rotary phone in front of a teenage kid and said, "This is a phone. Figure out how to use it." They're just like, "Holy smokes, what's this thing?" They couldn't figure it out. It's amazing. Back when we used landlines, he did a job and somebody ripped it out. Right, Tom? And when Tom went to talk to that guy, Tom simply said, "I forgive you." Right? It's a story. Do you imagine living in such a way that it would cause the person that just got forgiven doing something that's actually terrible, illegal, trying to wreck Tom's business, all that stuff, and turn around and say, "Well, I forgive you." Can you imagine the confusion in that person's mind?
Yes.
I don't understand what's happening right now. Am I being punked? Is this like one of those video things? You know, to be marked out as belonging to Christ, somebody who is on the way, because Tom, he dressed like everybody else, he's eating the same food as everybody else, he's involved in the same customs as everybody else, he's living life, but yet, there's something that marks him out. You see what I'm getting at? That is being on the way. And we were talking in our small group yesterday with the guys. Somebody was talking about purpose. It was Joe. Joe was talking about purpose. And I just made the comment, just understand, I want you to know something. That Tom doing that with that person has as much or more impact than the message I'm going to preach tomorrow at church. I believe that. Because that's the Christian life in public that marks us out as different. You see what I'm getting at? Now, I want you to understand something. The reason I said about going to the ends of the earth and now coming back to the way and being called a Christian, the gospel message has got to be supported by a way of living. You see that? The gospel message must be supported by a way of living. Again, I know we're not perfect. I get it. I understand we got things to work through. I do too. I've been saved for a long time, been preaching for a long time. I'm still working on stuff. I'm not perfect. But I do understand entirely that my message must be supported by a way of living, or I cancel my message out to my hearer. We just saw it. Margaret told me about this the other day, and I didn't recognize the name, but then I saw it on social media, and I was like, "Oh, I know that guy." Another pastor down in Texas, an older guy, found out to have been in an affair. Now he's thrown out of his pulpit. The message must be supported by a way of living. You hear me? Or else you're really not on the way. You see what I'm getting at? Because Tom could have done everything. He could have did everything opposite of it. And some people say, rightfully so. But then knowing, I know Tom enough. No, I guarantee he's telling people about Jesus too. He could have, in somebody else's eyes, canceled the message out because of how he responded to that situation. You see what I'm getting at? So when we're taking the gospel to the world, amen, it has to be supported by a life that reflects what the gospel does. New creation. The working out of abundant life. Change will happen. Living by faith. Standing firm in the face of temptation. All the hundred ways we could say that. But this is what we're called to live. You see that? So I want you to be a church that gathers. I want you to be a church that is equipped. I want you to be on mission and take the gospel to the world. But I want you to remember how you reflect on it with your actions and your words, the fruit that really comes forth from your life. It makes a difference. You see that? Acts chapter 28. This is the last verse of the book of Acts. Acts 28. Let's go to verse 30. The last two verses, 30 and 31. Acts chapter 28 and verse 30 and 31. It's talking about Paul, talking about being in Rome. And Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and, even though he was under house arrest, without hindrance. And there's the last sentence of the book of Acts. You turn your page over and you're into the book of Romans. The book of Acts kind of ends in a triumphal way. That it ends that the gospel is still being proclaimed. Now, this may have been written before Paul was eventually martyred, or maybe not. Maybe it was written afterwards, but that's not how they chose to end talking about Paul. The ending of the book of Acts is the gospel is still being proclaimed. Preached. So I think that's Noel back there. Noel, there's just one slide today. If you'll throw that up for me, please. Let's see if we get it up here. You have to clear out that verse. We'll get there in a second. So it is that the gospel has not stopped. In the ending of the book of Acts is that though we know the end of the story of Peter, who was martyred, we know the end of the story of Paul, who was martyred, we know the end of the story of most of the disciples who were killed for their faith, we know this, that belonging to the way is to carry on the book of Acts. In other words, it is still being written. You see that? For where there was a Paul and a Peter and a Barnabas and a John Mark and a Priscilla and all the names you find in the book of Acts, look, they're all dead and gone, but we're still going. Yes, amen. And for those names are recorded in history, we now have a Lori and a Larry and a Julie and a Kelly, and a Jenny, and a Tish, and an Angela, and a Brent. You see what I'm getting at? The book of Acts is still going today. Why? Because as the last sentence of the book of Acts is, the gospel is still being proclaimed. Amen. The kingdom of God is still going forth. The signs and wonders are still active. There's still people that need to hear the message. There's still places in the world that it's got to get to. All the way up to Caesar and Rome, out to the outskirts of society. There's still places for it to go. It may be your neighbor who lives right next door to your house. It may be the person that works next to you at your job, or the next office over, or the next person in line on the assembly. But it hasn't stopped. See, The book of Acts is what is called the beginning of the church age. So you have the life of Jesus, and you have his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And then when the Holy Spirit is sent, as Jesus promised, and we see that Acts chapter 2, that is the beginning of what's called the church age. The church age is in existence until Jesus comes again. Jesus ascends, the Holy Spirit sent, Jesus is going to return, and the time in between is called the church age. It is the ongoing work of the book of Acts. We're still here. So we're still called to proclaim the gospel. We're still called to be a church on mission. It's still being written. Now, they're not going to add any more chapters to the Bible. They shouldn't. Anybody says we are, don't listen to them. Foolishness. The canon of the scripture is closed. But let's just say they kept writing the book of Acts. And they kept it in certain places recording names and things that they did and then the persecution they faced. But yet, as Acts 2:47, and the Lord continued to add to their numbers daily those being saved. It kept going. That maybe, just maybe, I don't know, one of your names would show up in the continued writing of the book of Acts. Not necessarily because of anything absolutely extraordinary, just because you simply were being on mission with your life. Some people, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with myself. Let me tell you something. If you believe that the greatest thing that can happen for you was your salvation, then the greatest thing you can do is tell somebody about it. Purpose. That if you will simply just turn yourself over to the greatest cause of human history, to be counted those someday who stand before the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You see that? So Paul writes something near the end of his life. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll turn there. Last scripture, we'll close up after this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. Paul writes here, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. He knows that his time is coming. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing or long for him to return. You see that? If you simply, in staying in step with the Spirit, will live life according to the step of the Spirit, that you simply stay in the faith. You see the reward that is there? That we can always say that our labor is never in vain. Never. Even when what you share is rejected, even when there is troubled times, your labor is never in vain. But stay step with the Spirit. Stay in the faith. Be one who takes the gospel to the world. And whatever that means to you, take it. But be active. Can we be active? Yes. If we can be active, listen to me. God is the one who does what he does. The glory is his. But you will never know. Go back to Tom's story. I don't know that Tom knows that guy today. But how do we know that that one act of forgiveness did at some point change that man's life? And someday Tom may get to heaven and see, hey, I know that guy. You were a jerk. You're not going to say that. You jerk. How'd you get in here? No, you're not going to say that. Lord, I have a question. Can we kick this guy out? No, he's not going to say that. That guy may tell him a story. Tom, that day you did that, it just stayed in my brain. I just couldn't get over it. That somebody would treat me that way after I did something so horrible. You will not know till later the impact that you had on people's lives because you were willing to be on mission. I saw this the other day. It's not original to me, but when Paul entered heaven, he came into the applause of all those he had seen martyred for their faith. You see that? Paul entered heaven, all the people he sent there with his murderous threats and the things he did in the name of God welcomed him with cheers and applause, and we're glad you're here. Isn't that just the way God works?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Let's be on mission, church. Amen? So here's how I want to close today out. I said I'd like to pray with you all. And I don't take a lot of time at the end of services to lay hands on people, but I felt to do so today. Okay? Because I want to, as we're closing up this series and heading into something else next week and the week after, to in a certain way impart something to you today. That's what I want to do. And you don't have to come down here to be prayed for, but I encourage you to do so. So I'm going to have Samara come up and play. I don't know if you have a stool for yourself. But I just want to lay hands on everybody. The Bible says not to be hasty in laying on of hands. But at the same time, there are times that I believe it's appropriate. My desire is to stir up the gifts within you. My desire is to stir up within you just a simple way of seeing things with new eyes. What's around you, the needs. Hearing with new ears what the Spirit's saying. That we don't just trudge through life just trying to make it, hoping we make it, but yet we have a renewed sense of purpose to be on mission. Okay, sound good? So how about this? I know we don't, some of our ushers are out today, but if you would stand up, and we're going to close off live stream at this point, so Noel, you can close down live stream. It's good to have you. We'll see you next week, live streamers. Be in church next week, by the way.